Thank you, musicians. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, we've got some testimonies tonight. Who's going to go first? Adrian. Heard you had a good time.
So for those of you that already heard, try not to sleep on me, all right? This is something that I went through for as long as I can remember, just like as it was like a little boy to where I am now. You know, everyone here I know has faced like at least one demon, at least depression, suicide.
Sure.
Anger, any disease, anything.
Right.
I battle to multiple of them every day and night. No peace, no nothing. Fighting never stopped. It was basically a war for me. And that's not the worst part. The worst part is I stayed silent. I didn't ask for help. And I know you may not believe it, like it may not seem like I went through that, but I did. I just hid it. I didn't ask for help. I hid it from my family, my friends, everyone. I hardly even asked God for help until, you know, one service I came up and asked Brother Baker for peace. And the Lord has blessed me with that.
Yeah.
And it didn't last long. The demons, they all came back with a tighter grip on me. And it only got worse and worse. And especially in 2019, when I lost my grandpa, died through cancer. It was hard for most of my family. It hurt me the most. My anger only got worse. I cried every night. I felt like a failure, like I failed him as a grandson. Until, you know, as later I got wiser and I realized I should be happy for him. He's at peace now. Mm-hmm. And very soon I will join him.
Sure.
And you know, I just battled him all the time, every single day and night, until, you know, BYC came. And as I went through that, I felt like the services were for me. And I had to go out for prayer. I had to pray every day and night, hopefully that he would set me free. And he has. He has set me free.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm a free man now. I'm at peace.
Amen.
But now I know that even though I am semi-free, he's breaking all these chains. The devil's not going to stop. He's going to come back. But with God with me now, I know I can. He's going to fail. I'm going to conquer everything in my path. You know.
Amen.
So what I ask for all of you is don't do what I did. Stay silent. Ask for help. You have more help than you realize.
Yes.
Your friends, your family,
right.
And especially God, because anything is possible for him.
Amen. Amen.
That is it. God bless you all.
Amen. Awesome. You get to call the next person.
Oh.
There's two more. I don't know.
Who didn't go up then?
Turn him in.
Name one. Levi?
There you go. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
All right, then. Well, this is my first time going to BYC, and at first I was like, It's a week. That's a whole week. It's definitely long, and it's way out there. And I was like, oh man, I don't know about it. But I decided going, and man, it was truly a blessing. The services they had there, they're just powerful. God truly blessed us over there, and it was just a good feeling. And seeing all the younger kids go to the altar and God just coming down, it opened me up. It was truly a blessing for sure. And yeah, that was it. We had a good time. It was good, man. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's it. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, EYC was had a good time. Services were good. Lots of kids there. Lots of grass.
Green grass.
Yeah. I had a wonderful time, and thanks for your all prayers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I encourage you to testify of what the Lord's done for you. Just drive it into the ground. That's how we overcome. So, you know, just the media is just full of everything the devil's doing. How about let's talk about the Lord, what he's doing for us. Praise the Lord. If you would stand. Thank you for all the specials tonight. Blessed be his wonderful name. We appreciate that. A kingdom which cannot be moved. We'll read excuse me, from Jude, starting from the first verse. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. There was already a falling away taking place. And he was telling them, make sure, you know, there's other things being taught, other things being spread, other things being contended for. Make sure that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. So they crept in, so that means they're creeps. Well, isn't that what the serpent did in the garden? He crept in under the garden gate. Same old tactics. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that word grace, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor, used of the merciful kindness by God, by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues, the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. So they've turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, once again, unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, and insolence. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads this evening. Father, as we stand before you tonight, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts and joy unspeakable. Lord, we're so thankful for our young people. We're so thankful for the testimonies that you're giving to them. We know that every generation has their own witness, and every one of us has to have our own personal experience. And Lord, we're thankful that our young people come back with a clearer vision, a closer relationship, a closer walk, and purpose, and deliverance, Lord, help, strengthening, encouragement, just all the things that they have need of, that we all have need of, Lord. We're no match for this age in our own selves, but Lord, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So, Lord, we trust that the works that have been done will just continue on, will deepen, and that you would receive all honor and all glory. Father, we just love you so much tonight. We just thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing. We ask now, Lord, that you'd anoint your word once again as it goes forth, that you'd speak to our hearts, teach us what we have need of, and surely we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So the world is painting a picture of a non-judgmental Christ. You know, to have any kind of a standard is to be considered judgmental, and right now that's not in style. So they paint a picture of a non-judgmental Christ that puts no constraints on you and doesn't expect you to live by the pages of his word. But we are contending, earnestly contending, for the very same faith that was once delivered to the saints. We don't want a second-handed religion. We don't want a watered-down religion. We don't want a new modernistic religion. We want the original faith. The denominations, they're contending for their doctrines, or they're contending for their buildings or their programs. But there must be a people also that contend for the one and true original faith. But in order for us to contend for this faith, there must be first a restoration of this faith, wouldn't you say? Jesus cannot come back until the time of the restitution of all things. God says in Malachi 4, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse, but first I will send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will turn your hearts, or the hearts of the children, back to the fathers, back to the original faith. You know, we were mentioning this morning that people walk away from this and they say, well, this isn't, that wasn't the Elijah that was promised to come. And, you know, he made mistakes and it was full of errors and, you know, we were deluded. And but now we've got the truth, they say. Well, I have another question for you. If you, first of all, the question was, Who do you think this Elijah is? And second of all, do you have the truth? Because if what you have right now is the same thing that the denominations have, then how is your heart turned back? What turned your heart? Who turned your heart? Now, to go backwards is not to, yeah, it's having your heart turned, but it's having your heart turned like Mrs. Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Her whole body turned back to Sodom. We don't want to do that. We want to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So it's indisputable this evening, friends, that the prophecy of Malachi 4 must first be fulfilled before the great tribulation takes place and the rapture of the church takes place. And in fact, there will be no rapture of the church without hearts being turned back and those hearts being turned to the Lord Jesus. Our hearts are to be turned back to the original faith that was once delivered to the saints. And the voice of the Lord himself is to speak in this age. And Paul tells us, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not that refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. His voice has and is sounding forth, and the heavens and the earth are shaking, so that what remains will only be that which cannot be moved. And the church said,
amen.
You say, well, what voice? Well, his voice is his word. So if you refuse his word, you're refusing his voice. I'm so glad that he's speaking to our hearts. I'm so glad that we have the truth. I'm so glad that he's guiding us and leading us, and that the truth is marching on. I'm so glad that we have the original faith. You know, God knows how to separate the wheat from the tares, and he knows what it'll take for us to overcome in this age. We read from verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Brother Branham puts it this way in the message, "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed." He says, "Now, you're all one great big sweet group right now, but remember my warning, see? Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with it." So he's warning us of that. He's not saying this might happen, but it will happen. He says, don't you take sides with it. The whole point of it is to bring division. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. And stay with your pastor, see? He's the shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through, because he's ordained of God to do so. Not the one that's causing trouble, but your pastor. So, this has happened all over the world. This has happened all through the ages.
Right.
God doesn't change his pattern. Satan doesn't change his either.
That's right.
He'll bring people in and they'll tell you, oh, you know, you're just the best thing since sliced bread. And, you know, I've just never been so happy. And I wasn't hearing the truth before. And now I'm hearing it. And they're just tickled and just so happy until they're not. And then when they're not, they're just as nasty as they were happy. And they're just as against you as they were for you. Right? That's Satan's tactics. That's Satan's patterns. So forget faces, names, whatever might come to your thinking. That's not important. What you need to see is that there are people that are actually ordained to this. Oh, I know it sounds flat, but I just read it to you out of the Bible. And at the same time, here's what I want you to get. If they were ordained to that, at the same time, there are others that are ordained to believe. There are others that are ordained to stay with the truth. And it's to them that this was sent. So don't let that trouble you. Don't let it stumble you. Don't take sides with it. Just keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the Lord. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the vision. And don't listen to it. Because all it brings is confusion and discouragement and arguments and debates. And consider the source. You know, it will come to naught. So you were not only called and ordained, but you were placed in this hour to stand against all of these things and to stay with the word. So it shouldn't surprise us tonight, friends, that Satan has been busy. They are denying the Lord. Well, we read that in Revelation chapter 3. They say this, but the Lord says that. And he's at the door, the Lord Jesus himself. He's standing at the door. And they won't let him in his own church. And he's the word. And they claim to believe the word. But they are denying the word. And at the same time, they claim to believe in the man of Galilee. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, this isn't a different God. It's the same one. Why does he need to put us in remembrance? Why is Jude reminding of us? He said, I know you've heard this before. I know you know it, but I need to put you in remembrance of it. He's putting us in remembrance of it because he's saying, you know, if God did this once, he can do it again, and he will do it again under the same circumstances. Verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Recall, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. If a man stands up in our nation today and declares openly that marriage is between a man and a woman and not between members of the same sex, a riot practically breaks out, and that man is labeled as a hater. Sodom went after strange flesh and perversion, and God burnt them up for it. Amen. With a consuming fire. Amen. Oh, but Brother Doug, God is a forgiver, and God is a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace. Yes, he is. I completely agree with that. But he will not take you unto himself until you first repent. Amen. He's trying to save you from yourself. Amen. And from your sin. And you must stand before the Word, and you must allow that Word to judge you, to wash you, and then you must repent of your sin and your unbelief. This isn't a come as you are and stay as you are gospel. It's come as you are, but then die out and be born again. Men and brethren, what must we do? They said on the day of Pentecost. Repent. That's always the answer, friends. Repent. Your heart needs to be turned. Yes. Your attitudes need to be turned. Your vision needs to be changed. Amen. Repent. Verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. They despise dominion. And they speak evil of dignities. Friends, who's he talking about? Now, I didn't ask you the name of the person. But he's talking about church, people that go to church. The world, he doesn't need to tell us what the world's doing. We know what the world's doing. We were once of the world, but we repented. But he's talking about those that are of the faith. Just as there were those like this in the first Exodus, so are those like this in the second Exodus and in this last Exodus. They will not submit to the Word. They mock the visitation of the seven angels. And they speak evil against the seventh church age messenger. And they'll doubt the prophecy of the messenger and heap abuse on heavenly authority. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, but he durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't say, I rebuke you, or you're ugly, or he didn't bring any kind of accusation on his own, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael, in other words, friends, Michael didn't use slander when he came against the devil. Why is it that men will use slander when they come against God's word and against God's message to the age and against God's servants? slander is always, think about it. If somebody is trying to point out fault to you and they're slandering someone, you know right off the bat, that's not of the Lord. Because Michael, the archangel, didn't even do that. And they boldly do it, and without fear of any kind of consequences. But friends, if you refuse this voice, there is no other voice to follow. This is the final voice to the final age. The next words that they will hear is, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Now, a worker of iniquity means you know the right thing to do, but you refuse to do it. So these are church goers, because those that don't know the truth, they can't be workers of iniquity because they don't know the truth. They can't refuse to do that which is right because they don't know what is right. But to those that have come in contact with the truth and they know that it's the truth, but then they refuse to do it, they're a worker of iniquity. We have many, many, many different denominations in the ranks of Christianity, and each and every one has its own voice. And then on top of that, we have Islam and Hindu, Buddhism and New Age and so on, adding their voices to the confusion and to the babble in this hour. Each one contending that they have the faith, contending that they have the truth. It should be obvious that under these circumstances, God must make his voice distinct from all other voices. Otherwise, how could we know which was the right voice? Now, if he doesn't, then who could rest? Who could have peace? Who could be sure? Verse 10. But these, they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. So these men slander things that they do not understand. If you don't understand something, just keep your mouth shut. Right. That's wisdom. Right. How can natural men understand the supernatural? God doesn't even try to explain these things to the natural man. He reveals it to you by faith. And faith doesn't need an explanation. Faith doesn't need intellectual proof. Faith doesn't need an argument that's conclusive. And furthermore, the word can't be explained to us to cause us to believe. Well, if I could just explain it right, you'd believe it. No, you believe it by faith or you don't believe it at all. It must be revealed to us, and only to a heart that has been changed to receive from the revealer of truth himself. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Boy, that's a mouthful there. These are those that have a Judas spirit. They're in the move of God. They're part of the movement. But they're not true believers. Friends, if you question the vindicated word, well, you're a Korah. Because that's how Dathan and Korah behaved. Verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Now what good is us of all people living here in the desert, living here in Tucson? I don't want to just see a cloud. I want a cloud that's got water in it. I don't want a vapor. I want a rain cloud. Clouds they are without water. So a cloud without water just spreads gloom and doom. But a cloud that's got water in it, it's refreshing. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Wind blows this way, there they go. Wind blows that way, there they go. Trees whose fruit withereth. So they are producing fruit, but it's withering fruit. And then he says, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, without the Christian fruits of the Spirit. Then he says, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You know, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I heard the messenger say that I hadn't found in the Word myself, and you listen to it, and he says, you know, they're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And you think, wow, that's kind of hard, you know? Well, yeah, but that's what Jude said. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots, yet claiming to be born again. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Boy, he's real descriptive, isn't he? Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Whew. That's a sad state, friends. A wandering star is a star that's out of its position. And when you get out of your place, you get out of your position, you affect the orbits of others. Others suffer because of that. Because there's a pull, a gravitational pull of one heavenly body on another. So when a person leaves the Word, where are they going to go? Well, they'll wander around as fugitives and vagabonds, just as Cain did when he was banished from the presence of the Lord. They float here, they float there. That's why Jude is using these words, this particular wording about clouds. You know, the wind blows, now the cloud's over here, and now the wind's coming from the northeast, and they're blown over there. And there's no rain in it. They're just floating around like a cloud, getting blown here and there, wandering. No place to call home. And eventually, if they stay that way long enough, they'll become a one-man denomination or a one-person denomination. In other words, they'll have ideas that only they believe. Right. And they're so blinded by it that they're proud about it. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. Little do they know that they're being led of an evil spirit. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, how did Jude know this? Where is it written in the scripture that Enoch prophesied of these things? Come on, friends. To execute judgment upon all. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We're a type of Enoch in this last day. And as a type of Enoch, or Enoch was actually a type of us, We're in a walk with our Lord Jesus. Amen. Enoch says that we will bring judgment upon those that speak against the Word of God. Verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. So they're trying to impress you. And they're trying to make you think that they know something. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So they're political. They're looking for position. They're kingdom builders. And they're doing it right within the move of God. Walking after their own lusts. Murmurers, complainers. God, help me to not be part of that. I don't want any part of that. I don't know about you. I hate it, don't you? I mean, I didn't like it at work. And I've had many, many, many bosses. And you can always find something that you would do differently if you were in charge. But you're not. And when you get, when you are in charge, now all of a sudden you don't want any murmuring. You don't want any complaining. You don't want anybody second guessing you or questioning you. But it was fine for you to do it. Murmurers. He's describing what took place in the first Exodus. They were murmuring, complaining. And many were walking after their own lusts for personal gain, speaking great swelling words to draw men unto them, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. A lot of times, this is accomplished through flattery. You know, people will build you up to try to make an ally out of you using great swelling words. But what they're doing is they're not doing it for you. They're doing it for personal gain. They're walking after their own lust. They have their own motive, their own objective. And yet right amongst the move of God. Now, some of you, I love you to death because you're so innocent towards the evils that take place around you. But you do need to be wise. Some of you, when I tell you this is happening or that's happening or watch out for this or that, you don't want to believe it. So since you don't want to believe it, it doesn't exist. And Brother Baker shouldn't bring these things up. Well, Jude shouldn't have said it either. And I don't know about you, but if I said these things, see, I told you. Man, Brother Baker, he just needs an attitude change. Look at how Jude dispels it out. It's the truth. I'm sorry. I didn't write the script. I didn't make these people this way. But I'm not going to be blind to what they're doing. I'm going to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I'm not going to crucify them. But I'm not going to let them hurt me or anybody else. I'm not going to let them gain advantage over others. I'm not going to let them pervert your faith or draw them towards you. And I don't apologize for it. Although I do read at the end of the Jude chapter 1, of course there is only one chapter, I read at the end of it where he said, I'm sorry. I was in a mood. I shouldn't have said those things. Would you forgive me? It's not there at all. This is a war. Murmurers. Complainers. Murmurers. Complainers. Shouldn't be part of our vocabulary. Some people just love to get around other people that murmur and complain. And by the time they're done, they've fixed they got the answer to everything. But they're not in charge of anything. And they're not helping to resolve anything. And once you start tearing down, where do you draw the line? Does it build faith? Does it build confidence? Of course there's things that you don't like. Started to say, worked for many employers, that I would have done things differently. But I didn't get around the coffee pot and complain about it. And there are some people that would walk around with a coffee cup looking for somebody to complain with. And if I'm watching that cup, I don't want it to spill on me, you know. And they come by, how you doing? It's like, I don't have time for this. You don't either. I got a job to do. I got work to do. I'm living in an imperfect world, so I don't need you to point it out. If there was a motive there, to somehow bring an improvement, that'd be a different story. But if it's just to tear down, what's the point? Do you know that God hates murmuring? You know that he destroyed those that were in that first Exodus and swore that they would never go into the land because of murmuring? And murmuring can only be effective, listen to this now, it can only be effective if there's somebody to listen to it. These men that follow the gospel, seemingly, they're doing it for their own advantage. Listen, if you want to find fault with the Bible, you'll find fault with the Bible. There are things that appear to be contradictory in the Bible. There are things that I can't explain that appear to be direct contradictions. But I don't have to explain it. It appears contradictory to my understanding. So my conclusion is, my understanding isn't right. And if I need to have a greater understanding, he'll bring it. I believe the word. I'm not looking for faults. I'm not going to go sow seeds. I mean, how could we trust the word? I mean, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. How could we trust the Bible if we believe that there are flaws in it? If you want to find fault with the message of our day, you'll find plenty. But every word that was spoken in our day was not the message. And it's amazing to me where people will say, well, you know, they expect every single word. Well, you shouldn't have said it then. Well, you shouldn't have just said what you said. Because you're claiming to be right. And everything you say isn't right. So why are you trying to hold somebody else to a different standard? And this is truly why you need to have an ear to hear. Because without an ear to hear, without being born again, you can't rightly divide the truth. There are websites that are entirely dedicated to finding fault with Paul, believe it or not. And these are supposed Christians that are finding fault with the messenger to the Gentiles, of which they are. They say Paul hijacked the message from Peter. And therefore, we can throw out what Paul said. You can find fault with the apostles, with Jesus. The Pharisees did. And with Moses, Dathan and Korah did. If you want to find fault, you'll find what you're looking for. When Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers, look, he lost his temper. He didn't lose anything. He had a temper, and it was completely under control. He was angry, and he sinned not. But to the human mind, well, your disciples are eating, and they didn't wash their hands. Well, that's your doctrine, not the doctrine of the word. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time. Why'd they tell you that? So you wouldn't be surprised. So you'd be prepared. Okay, yeah, I was warned about this, that there's going to be people amongst us that mock, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they, listen to this, who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Preach it, Brother Jude. I love this guy. He doesn't mince words. Brother Andy, what he's saying is they're doing this because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They're not born again. They have not the Spirit. Some of you are getting real quiet. You know, what you need to recognize is that you have an imagination. And you can sit and listen to these words and imagine that I'm talking about somebody. Right? But don't put your imagination in my mouth. I'm just telling you. I mean, I'm sure that they did the same thing. Well, the apostles warned us. Oh, we know who they were talking about. It is true that somebody's going to fulfill that. So Jude says, the reason why they're this way is because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having not the Spirit. You see, it's not possible for you to have the Holy Ghost and then walk after your own ungodly lusts. That's why we don't need a rule book. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the rule book in you, you won't do those things. You have a different nature. You won't be lusting after the things of the flesh. People won't have to tell you, now I know that you want to do that, but don't do it because it's not right. You won't do it because you don't want to do it. And you don't want to do it because you have a new nature. And you have the Spirit of Christ in you to keep you. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. There are some people, friends, we were all hellbound. We were all running from God at one time. We were all at enmity with God at one time, fighting against God, whether we realized it or not. And he says, on some have compassion, feel sorry for them, making a difference. Sometimes people don't need your correction. They just need your love. And you can love something off of somebody. Love them out of a condition. The person in the gutter doesn't need your correction. They need your love. Have compassion. Making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some people you just got to be flat with. You just got to be, you know what? You're going to go to hell if you don't knock this off. You need to get right. Repent or perish. So Jude is not condemning these, nor is he telling you to condemn them. We were all doubters at one time. He's saying, go after the doubters and bring them in if you can. Jude is showing us the alternative to being a doubter. Come into Christ and find grace and find mercy, find peace. He tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God, which means to stay with His Word. Hate the sin, but go after the sinner with compassion. Jude says, save some by fear. Warn them of the oncoming judgments. Snatch them from the fire. We were all in the fire at one time. But thanks be to God, we were snatched out of the fire. Some may still have scars, but thank God we're not in that fire any longer. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, but unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. He's able to keep you from falling. You will not fall if you're born again of the Spirit of God, because he will keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's God that justifies, not the murmurer, not the complainer, not the corrector in chief. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. 25 verses, raking over the coals. No wonder he only wrote one chapter. Listen, friends, some are not going to fall. If that's you tonight, I want you to say it. I'm not going to fall. I am not going to fall. I am not going to fall. I'm not in this to fall. He is going to keep me. I am staying with his word, and his word is keeping me. He is able to keep them. That's why they're not going to fall. He's personally responsible to keep them. Man will find fault with you, but not God. You will find fault with you, but not God. It is God that justifies. And he's looking at the inward man, not at this outer shell. Now you might wonder, well, why do we need a shaking in this hour? Why can't this be done some other way? That's like asking, why do we need a threshing floor at harvest time? Can't the grain be separated from the chaff any other way? Notice, the stalk at harvest time is lifeless. There's no life in it. And when it becomes lifeless, it's hard, unbending, irritating. The shuck is lifeless at harvest time. So there comes a point that the seed has to be separated from the plant, which means separated from the shuck, separated from the stalk, the tassel, what have you. Well, Brother Doug, why does the separation have to come? Remember, I didn't write the script. Brother Doug, the plant nourished me. Yes. The plant brought me into the message. Uh-huh. The plant protected me for a season from all the pressures. Yep. Why does there now have to be a separation? It's harvest time. God starts separating from unbelief at the time of the harvest. And he told us that would be the time when he would bring the separation. He told us at the time of the harvest, he would bring the separation. Luke chapter 22, verse 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests, and the captains of the temple, and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. You ever meditated on that scripture? This is your hour and the power of darkness. When I was with you daily in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But it wasn't the hour. But this is your hour. And the power of darkness. Now this is going to sound strange tonight, friends. I admit that it sounds strange. But there is an hour that darkness is granted permission to prevail. The light shines first, but the darkness hates the light, rejects the light, and is given permission to prevail. Darkness is allowed to increase for a period of time. If you don't know that, you'll think, wow, we're living in this time and it's just getting darker and darker, and it looks like God's losing control and Satan's winning. No. God's permitting darkness to increase for a period of time. And the reason why darkness is increasing is because light is being taken from it. As light is taken from the darkness gets darker and darker. And then the light squeezes against that darkness, and how dark it is. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. We've been through this before, friends, but this is the battle that's taking place between Lucifer and his angels and Michael and his angels, and it's raging right now. Satan is descending, and the bride is ascending at this time. These are overcomers that are spoken of in this scripture. These are those that are taking their position that Adam once held, but Adam fell from. And this is the time of the fullness of salvation. It's the time of the body change. The accuser is in the process right now of being cast down. As you accept the word, we are overcoming Satan, and he is being cast down. But he is going to be completely cast down. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, 3.5 years. This guy is crowned at that time as king of the earth. So just as there is a place being prepared to receive us, there's a reception being prepared for Satan here on the earth. The stage is being set. All the things that are taking place right now, friends, it's setting the stage for this tribulation period. It's also setting the stage for this great person that's going to come and solve all of our problems, that's going to bring unity, that's going to unite all the religions of the world. The scene is being set. Revelation 9:1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Notice, he's not descending. As in Revelation chapter 10, there's a mighty angel descending. Here's a falling star. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Why would God give the devil the key to the bottomless pit? It's all part of his plan. In other words, darkness is given permission for a space of time, and the word is blacked out. There's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word, but only because the word was rejected. As Paul said, they have not a love of the truth. And since they have not a love of the truth, they are given a blinding, strong delusion. And this delusion comes up from the pits of hell. The lid had to be opened. Where did these things come from?
Right.
Where are these anointings coming from?
Right.
Hell.
Yes.
Hell is spilling out into this dimension.
Yes.
The lid is off.
Right.
Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened, blinded to the word. Darkness. That's what this age now is characterized by. Darkness. By reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So this is not a literal locust that's going around eating up the grass, but this is an evil a spirit that's incarnate, that's going after men that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, that have not the seal of God on their foreheads. There will be people here that take on the very thinking and the very mind of Lucifer, just as there are people on the earth right now that are taking on the very thinking and mind of Christ. These are reprobates because they have not a love of the truth. There are those who cast out Christ, and there are those that unite with Christ, and he becomes their head. Zechariah said, in the evening time there shall be light. And at the same time, there's gross darkness, just as it was in Egypt before that great Exodus. Darkness was across the land. Isaiah chapter 60, very familiar scripture, verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Prophets agreeing with prophets, agreeing with the prophecy. Darkness shall cover the earth. Not just darkness, but gross darkness. The people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you.
Amen.
Now there's a couple of ways to take that. One is you will be glorified. You will receive your new body. His glory shall be seen upon you. But there's also a spiritual fulfillment where his glory is seen upon you in this last day. When everyone else is going around, there's gross darkness upon them. But not you. You're walking in the light as he is in the light. So this is the law of contrast once again. We're living in the most evil age. We're living in the darkest hour. And in this particular time, God is calling out a bride from the midst of it for his name's sake. What a place to find a bride and call her out from. Somebody's going to be crowned with deity, having the very life of God living in them and shining through them. What a great paradox.
the most evil of all ages, and the most godly and mature and surrendered of people. The question is, where do we fit in this? Who are we? That's why you don't want to be lukewarm, friends. The whole lukewarm group, they're not even in the battle. You've got those that are opposing on one side. You got those that are being exalting the Lord, that are going on with the Lord, that are fervent, that are on fire. And then you've got this gray area in the middle. It's not light or dark. It's confusion. Something very supernatural is taking place right now. What a day. What an hour. What a time. You are living in the very closing hours of the Gentile days of redemption. And the very last members of the body are coming in. An innumerable company of angels is all around. And the Lord is coming to take what he's redeemed. It's an hour of gross darkness. Darkness is pressing in on every side. But in the evening time, it shall be light. Let's stand. Blessed be his wonderful name. Who could write such a drama? Do you realize, friends, that to this lost and dying world, there are many, many, many that have no clue what's going on?
Yes.
Do you realize in the ranks of organized religion, there are many, many, many that have no clue what's going on? They've been taught that we're all sinners and God felt sorry for us, and so he came to save us, but we're still sinners. And that's it. That if you're sick, he might heal you if he feels like it. If not, then maybe he wanted you to be sick. What a bunch of confusion. There's a great work coming to its climax in this hour, at this time. And there's tremendous supernatural things taking place. In fact, this is one of the most supernatural times. There are angels descending and ascending. Even natural man is seeing, visiting judgment angels, seeing phenomena that they can't explain. We see extremes. We see the darkest of darkness and corruption and depravity. And yet we see some of the most glorious works of God. We see the power of God. You know, just the fact that he's kept you. That's supernatural. To keep you in this hour of darkness. I don't need any other evidence, friends. That is supernatural. Only he could do that. It's not me doing it. It's not you doing it. It's not a rule book that's doing it. We love the deacons and they have their place. But it's not them doing it. You're not serving God because they got a 40 caliber pistol that they're wearing. Oh, I know that sounds strange to you, but there are churches where deacons carry pistols. Oh, well, that's just to keep order. Whose order? Listen, friends, if God's not able to keep us, we shouldn't be kept. But he's more than able. He's promised us. And I believe him tonight. Don't you? I've committed my life to him. I've committed my future, my soul, my family, my situations. I've committed it all to him. And I trust him tonight. And he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. How many can say that tonight? He wants every good thing for me. He's not looking for me to suffer, and I will suffer, and I am suffering. I've been promised that if I live godly, I will suffer. But I've also been promised that I have peace, joy, and rest, and that I'll be content, that I'll have my needs met and every need supplied. He's promised me a sound mind. He's promised me health, even as my soul prospers. He's promised me my family. He's promised me a future. And I believe it. And I'm walking in it. In the midst of the most wicked hours, the most wicked of times, I can say this evening, I'm blessed. I can say this evening, I want to live. I want to serve him. I want to follow after him. I want him to be glorified in our lives. He deserves that, friends. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before you tonight, what a blessed people we are. Not because we're anything in our own sight or our own ability, but Lord, as we've surrendered to you, you're doing supernatural things in our lives, with our lives, through our lives, just as you said that you would. And all glory goes to you, Lord. Our desire, Lord, is your desire. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, if there's a soul that comes across our path that we can show compassion on, and Lord, we should show compassion to our fellow man. We don't know. They're our brothers, potentially. We don't know who's going to respond and who isn't. But Lord, it's our desire to go after anyone that we can. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. All who are thirsty, come. Lord, it is our desire to bring others to know you as we do, Lord. To know of your goodness and your mercy and your salvation, your healing and your deliverance. And Lord, the sound mind that you give us, the peace, the joy, all of these things. We don't want this for ourselves. Lord, we would give this to the whole world if it was in our power to give it. But Lord, it is within our power to put it on display and say, all who are thirsty, come. If they're not thirsty, of course they're not going to come. But if they are, we want to make sure that we're the right kind of advertisement. We want to make sure that we have the goods on display. We want to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit, not after the flesh, that we're not doting over the things of the flesh. But Lord, we're seeking the will of our Father to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we're going after that last one, because we know, Lord, that when the last one comes in, this work will be called short. It'll be finished. There'll be a great catching away, a great call from the throne. There'll be a meeting in the air. And it'll be our last opportunity to ever do anything for you, to ever serve you, to ever take a stand for your word in the midst of adversity. It's an honor and it's a privilege, Lord. It's not something to be despised. It's not something to be ashamed of. It is an honor to stand on your word. Lord, we have confidence in your unshakable and unfailing words of promise. We know that everything is shaking, but we know that your word cannot fail. Everything that can be shook is being shook, and everything that won't stand will fall. But you're going to keep us from falling. This is your work. This is your promise. And Lord, we believe you. We surrender. And Lord, we confess freely from our hearts that you're keeping us. We've committed ourselves into your hands. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to every heart. And Lord, I so appreciate the testimonies here tonight and every other night and the song specials. But Lord, especially the exhortation here tonight to not try to go through this alone, to not try to battle this alone. It's Satan's job to try to separate us and to try to tell us that we've got to fight this ourselves or we're the only one that's going to face it. But Lord, when we bring these things out into the light, Father, you will send us help in our time of need, deliverance, encouragement, strength. We're so thankful, Lord, that our young people have the opportunities to find these times, Lord, where they're pulled away from their daily grind, they're pulled away from their familiar circumstances and familiar friends and family, can just get alone and allow you to manifest yourself, Lord, for an atmosphere to be created, for things to take place. And then, Lord, to just give you the opportunity to do for them what you promised that you would do. We thank you for it. Lord, our desire is that this just be just one of many things that take place in our young people's lives. For Lord, you've done these things for us and are doing these things for us. But if you were to tarry this new crop that's coming up, they got to carry the torch. And they got to have the same witness and the same testimony and the same zeal and the same fervency and the same compassion. And they need to serve they need the same living God. For Lord, this is your work. And you're the only one that can keep us. And we thank you for it. Father, I just pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one, that each one would be encouraged. Lord, it's sobering when we read in the scriptures of the extremes, the law of contrast. But Lord, it's here. We want to be wise about these things and harmless at the same time. It's not our job to see these things and then put together poster boards and placards and go out and pick it against. That's not our job. But Lord, we don't want to be influenced by these things. We want to be wise about it. We don't want others to be influenced by it. We don't want to take part in it. We want to be aware of it. And we want to just draw that much closer to you. And Lord, not be shook in this time of shaking. What we realize is that there is a time of shaking taking place. And what's happening is that those whose feet are not planted on solid ground, they're not planted, they're not standing on the Word. They have an intellectual conception at best. They're raised up in it and they got assimilated. But when the shaking comes, you find out what you're standing on. You find out what's under your feet. And unfortunately, Lord, there are those that are not standing on solid ground. And when that shaking comes, they fall. And that fall is something that's bottomless. They continue to fall. It doesn't just stop there, but it just goes further and further and further, and our hearts go out. And Lord, we'll do whatever we can to snatch such a one from the fire, show compassion. But we know that some are ordained. We don't know who is and who isn't, but we do know that some are ordained to that, and no matter what takes place, they're gonna take the stand that they're taking, which is against your word. Lord, we don't want to rebuke them, but we don't want to give ear to them either. We want to go on. We don't want to debate or argue or fuss, but we want to go on, recognizing that these things must be. But at the same time, we recognize that there must be some that stand firmly. There must be some that believe you and say, help my unbelief. There must be some that say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. There must be some that stand firmly on your word in this hour. And we're so thankful, Lord, to know many of those. And there's many that we don't know, but there's many that we do. And what a privilege and an honor it is to stand shoulder to shoulder with them in this hour. Those amongst us in this church, Lord, and those around the world. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, that each one would be encouraged, that, Lord, that they just stand firmly and solidly upon your unshakable word. And we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, and amen. And the church says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a lovely song. And any other time I would just sing it, but I got another song on my heart right now. I shall not be moved. Amen. Do you know that song? Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. No, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.